Salutations, Stevie Neal here.
And Aurelia T.
And this is the Film Crew Experience.
FCX. We're back at it.
That's right.
And we had quite the ride on Sunday night.
That's
We expected a show, and
boy, did we get it. Boy, did we get it. A perfect way to follow up our predictions. We both launched our predictions. I really had a lot of predictions. I kind of kept it to kind of like our core ones that we cover. And I think Aurelia converted a lot of her predictions. Not so much.
I feel like I was wrong with most of mine, actually. And I established that in my last recording, because those, you know, a lot of them was based off of other winners and then some of it bias, you know. It's like, I know I was wrong about best song. I won't talk about that. And
Those are geekers. Yes, that was a shock, though. I mean, I can't blame you for that. It was pretty shocking. We'll get more into that when we, you know, kind of break down these things, you know, in detail. I keep teasing the people about our breakdowns, but we just really want to just talk about really our predictions, and then just what happened.
Yes,
in a lot of regards, and you know, a lot of people know what we're talking about, but then there's other things. You know, a whole Oscar ceremony happened,
you're talking about Timothy Chalamet and the shirtless tuxedo. That's what you're referring to, right?
I mean, yes, we can lump that in the little Aladdin jacket he was wearing.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, like, yeah, we can definitely talk about that.
Right. Yeah, that was the biggest part of the night for me. I was just like, wow, Timothy, just share the world with, you know, but.
Yes. Yes, yes. So where do we begin? I think we could just begin with our predictions, just how we converted. And then I think can kind of trail into just the tone of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll start with Best Animated Feature. I think that was the lead pipe lock among the two of us.
Yeah, the one that we both started with.
Yes.
We were both like, we know what this is. We know what it's going to be.
There's nothing to discuss, really. We said Soul was a lead pipe lock last year, but this was the leadest of pipe locks. Like, Encanto. It won. We were right. So let's move on.
Yeah. You know, even at that, had they not won, I would have just turned it off. I would have been like, you know what? I don't care. I don't care about anything else. I don't want to know anything else. I'm just done.
Yeah.
But they won. So,
you know,
the world is as it should be.
Exactly. So that happened. So what is the next category that we're going to delve into? Because I think we diverged quite a bit on our predictions, even more than usual.
Yeah, a little bit. Like, so I know that last time we talked about the best picture, best director, best actors and actresses, and then we did animated film.
Right.
So those are the main ones that we tend to touch on, because those are like the big ones, I guess you can say.
Yeah, the big ones.
You know, and then all the small ones, or all the other ones that I predicted in my last recording, I'm pretty sure I was like mostly wrong about them, except for a couple of them.
I think,
like, Dune.
Well, kind of delving into a sneak peek of the tone of the night, if you guessed Power of the Dog in any of those categories, you were wrong.
I was.
You know, except director, of course, and we'll get to that in a minute. But any other category, you were wrong.
I think I chose Power of the Dog for editing for some strange reason.
What? Okay, I guess there was a lot of cattle scenes.
I feel like they're not gonna get all the awards they were nominated for, but I knew that, like,
well,
they
that's
were
an understatement
get some yeah that is an understatement. I knew they were gonna get some reward awards, you know, and so I thought, like, if they were gonna give them best director and best picture, which I was still pretty sure they're gonna give it best picture, then they're likely gonna give it like one other category. So
Yes.
Editing, you know, let's go with editing, you know.
So that's just kind of a sneak peek of the tone of the night. We'll get to that in a minute. So, but I guess we could move on to the next category we predicted. Like supporting actress?
Before we get that, did you predict, because I don't recall, did you predict cinematography?
Are you kidding me? No, it's such a minuscule category.
I don't know, I feel like cinematography is kind of underrated.
It is underrated, I underrated it, so I didn't predict it. So, but yes, okay. What was did you get that one right?
I did. I was like, dude. I think I gotta go back and listen to it again, but I'm pretty sure I said two.
Keep score of Aurelia's shortcomings. Let us know how she did.
I'm probably gonna listen to it again and just like mark it all down and be like, yes, I was right. Give myself like a reward later, like, I don't know, Mr. Good Bar or something.
There you go. There you go. That's a good sport. So, yes, now on to the best supporting actress, which you nailed completely. I just threw out Anjanue Ellis just because I liked her performance in King Richard. You know, but you nailed it with the bows there.
Yeah. And you know, the thing about that one was it was really, again, based off of the other award shows. Like whenever I am doing predictions, I do look at the other shows.
The circuit.
Not just like one show, because that could, you know, be wrong, but all of them together. Mm. And literally from the Golden Globes to the Critics' Choice to the SAG Awards, she was getting the, you know, BAFTA. I think they did that. No, they didn't. No, they don't do Best Supporting for BAFTA. But all of them, everyone that she was nominated for, she won. So I was just like, well, it's likely if we're going with the, you know, it's very rare for the Oscars. Like, it's not like it never happens, but it's very rare for the Oscar to go completely against the grain when everyone else is saying it should go to this person, you know?
Right, right.
So, yeah, Ariana DeBose won. And good for, you know, like I love seeing new, new-ish actors, you know, because I mean, you know, she's been acting for a while. She was in Hamilton and everything. So I love seeing that, you know, them getting the acclaim, like, and I'm excited to see what else she does, you know, like, because if you really look at it, like, especially when it comes to actresses who are really just starting, especially like young Black actresses who are really just starting, you know, like starting with the acting, I guess you can say, like Jennifer Hudson and Lupita Nyong'o, you know, all of them really take, you know, step into that role, and I'm excited to see what she does with it.
Exactly. So that was, I guess, according to the circuit, not a surprise. What was a surprise was Best Supporting Actor, at least in our estimation. We both predicted Cody Smith McPhee in The Power of the Dog would win it. He did not. Troy Kotsur won Best Supporting Actor, you know, the deaf actor in Children of Deaf Adults, CODA, which generated some love throughout the ceremony. As we'll touch on in a minute. But Troy Kotsur wins Best Supporting Actor.
You know, I kind of kicked myself a little bit for that one too, because I remember saying, like, it, you know, because it's kind of random for me as far as the nominees, it could go to, I know I mentioned Troy Kotsur, like, as far as Best Supporting, but I was just like, I'm pretty sure it's going to go to Cody. And then, you know, and I was like, dang, I was so close. But I think it's really great. You know, he's the first
deaf actor to win
Best Supporting. So second deaf actor to win an Academy Award. So that's quite the accomplishment. And, you know, similar to Ariana, like, I'm excited to see what else he'll be he'll be able to work on from this point forward, you know?
Right. I do note that this counts as two swings and two misses for Power of the Dog. You know, he got 12 nominations. This is two of them, because both Cody Smith McPhee and Jesse Plemons both lost out on the award. So the hits just keep on coming.
They just keep on coming
for Power of the Dog.
Yeah, and they're gonna show up one more time for when we go over the Best Actress
exactly
as well.
Okay. So, all right. So, best actress. Mm-hmm. This was, again, an interesting gallery. You were praying to the Oscar gods that Kristen Stewart would not notch a victory.
Please, baby Jesus.
You know, but Oscar gods. We both nailed this. Jessica Chastain, Eyes of Tammy Faye.
Yes. And, you know, I'm so happy for that, you know, because she's so good. She's such a great actress that I don't even know why I was worried in the first place, you know. I mean, from the first time, you know, she, like, first movie I saw her in was The Help.
Okay.
And she played such a, and then I think the next movie, her other movie was right after that, but they were such different characters that it was so hard for me to realize, oh, wait, that's the same actress, you know?
Right.
And so, yeah, like, ever since she's come on the scene for me, I've just always been a fan of her, of her work. So, yeah, the fact that she won, I was just, yay, yes.
I definitely saw this movie about a couple days ago. Mm-hmm. You know, the Oscar win made me want to check it out. And yeah, man, she went all in for this performance. And I guess I'm a viewer of a certain age because, you know, I was a little kid when all the Jim Baker and, you know, Tammy Faye Baker stuff was going on. Mm-hmm. I was going, you know, my church was kind of in those circles, you know, because my church had like 10,000 people. It was one of the first mega churches around here. So we were very much in that same space, you know what I mean? You know, where televangelism was kind of, you know, sweeping the nation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, late 80s, early 90s. It definitely took me back to that time where you would see, you know, the gold chairs on the stage and, you know, all the outfits and the histrionics and stuff like that, singing and all that stuff. So, but she, you know, went all out for the performance. And I will say, the best actor candidate, Andrew Garfield, he also was in this movie. He didn't get mm-hmm. nominated for this movie, but I think mm-hmm. he should have. To be honest, I guess that would have gave him two, you know, has a actor been nominated for the same category twice? I think he could have made a case. I know there've been different categories, obviously, you know, in the same year, like ScarJo for Jojo and Marriage Story. But man, he was great as well as Jim Baker. He was pretty good. I mean, everybody in the movie nailed their roles. It was a pretty good film.
Yeah, and you know, I think that it's possible to, like, I mean, I think it should be possible to, you know, nominate the same actor twice for two different movies. Like, I mean, if you can nominate two different actors for the same movie, why not, you know, switch it around that way, you know? So
right, and I know we weren't going to go too deep into analyses and whatnot, but I just had to say that, you know, in case it doesn't get said the next time we get together.
And, you know, I've always been obsessed with Andrew Garfield. So trust me when I say I absolutely get it 110%. You know, he's always been just A1. You know, he's been steak sauce in my mind. So, yeah.
Okay. And speaking of Andrew Garfield, he was nominated for Tick, Tick, Boom in the Best Actor
category.
Yeah, Best Actor category. But he did not win.
He did not win.
He did not win. Will Smith won for King Richard.
As we knew he would.
As we knew. Yes, it's time. Will Smith right now, at least in the year 2022, the year of our Lord, he is the best actor.
Yeah.
So, that's what I like. I like when this happens, when the best actor of the year gets the trophy. And he was.
Yeah. You know, and we'll come back to that. But yeah, we knew that, like, we just knew that he was going to take it home based off of the, basing it off of the performance and basing it off of, you know, the award shows.
The circuit, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but I, I've always thought that Will Smith has genuinely earned an Oscar for his work, you know, right. From Pursuit of Happiness to,
yes.
you know, Ali to many other roles where he just like when he does the job, he puts in the work.
Yes.
And it always shows in his performances. And so like he's definitely one of the actors in my mind that's always really, really earned it. And so I was very excited, you know, knowing that this is most likely going to happen for him this year. Like finally this year, Will Smith is going to get his Oscar, you know? So it was really great that he won, and the remaining thoughts will resume after we talk about the Best Picture.
yes. I was going to get into more analyses, but of course we decided we were not going to do that. So yes, we are going to get into Best Picture and what won. The prohibitive favorite was Power of the Dog, coming in at 12 nominations. You would think the most nominations gets you the Best Picture. A lot of years it does, but this year it does not. Don't Look Up, Happy to Be Here, you know, it wasn't going to win. So it kind of left you guessing, if it wasn't those two, what was it going to be? I predicted Dune, and you predicted Power of the Dog, which, you know, like we said, did not win.
So we were both incorrect.
We were both incorrect. Coda won.
Coda, yeah.
Went a perfect 3-for-3. In its nominations.
Did it? Wait a second. Hold
on. It was nominated 3 times. It won all 3.
Wow. Well, there's the Best Picture for you.
So there it is.
Doesn't matter how many times you get nominated. It's about how many times you win. And yeah, you're right. You got Best Adapted Screenplay. And it won that over Dune, actually.
Yeah, which is surprising. Yes, it's surprising because it's a pretty good adaptation in its own right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... All right, and you know it's not so much surprising that they actually won when you really look at it, because again, the Oscars really, like, the Academy, the Hollywood at this point is really trying to embrace inclusion, you know, and Coda is a story about someone who is living, you know, who is about a child of deaf adults, so if that's not a story of inclusion, I don't know what is. And you know, you think about this, and then last year you had the story of I can't remember the name, but it was about the musician who was losing his hearing.
And that
was nominated for Best Picture as what, Sound of Metal.
Yeah, you know, second year in a row we've dealt with you know, hearing loss and impairment. Yeah,
and so like honestly, if you go back and you look at the Best Picture nominations through the years, you do see like commonalities among them, and you know, so yeah, I did think it was going to be Power of the Dog. I'm not like crazy surprised that it wasn't, but I'm kind of disappointed. I don't like to be that wrong.
And I feel like, you know, we really have not had a chance to you know, commiserate on just our opinions of Power of the Dog. It seems like we have very different, we hold this movie in very different esteems, you know, like very different regards. I don't hold this movie in a very high regard. I thought, you know, the first 45 minutes was a complete waste of time, and then it picked up.
But time after
it was good. It was just good. Yeah. It was good.
Well, you know, I am excited to go more in depth about that movie, and about a few of the other movies. The next time we have our recording, I know all our listeners are like, oh my god, can you just tell us what you think of the movies? But we want you guys to, you know,
there's a time and place.
We will that, and there are some other things that we just really wanted to just talk about, and
right.
You know, and that being the predictions, that being some of the highlights. And
Before we get into the highlights of the night, we didn't really go over Best Director. The one thing Power of the Dog did win, you know, was, you know, Jane Campion. She got Best Director. She becomes the first woman to win it twice.
Yeah, go Jane.
But can you believe it though? It's like from 93 to 2022, like 29 yeah. years apart. I think that is amazing.
And I mean, but also the fact that in those 29 years, it only went to one other woman.
Yeah, that also is puzzling. Yeah, and she was the only woman to be nominated in the category twice. Not even, you know, you think about who won for Hurt Locker? Patty Jenkins. Mm-hmm. She hasn't been nominated again since winning it for yeah. Hurt Locker, you know, yeah. so.
Well, actually, wait, I'm sorry. There's two. There have been two. So yeah, I forgot about. So Patty Jenkins won, and then I know Chloe Zhao won last year.
Ah, right.
So yep. okay. You're right. So you know, yes. glass ceiling broken. All right, we're yes. good.
Okay. Okay. Yes. Yes. Yes.
But so. Yeah, I don't think Jane won the original one. I know she was. She was.
Oh, she was nominated. That's right. She was nominated.
Yeah, because it was a big deal when Patty right. won. She was like the first.
Yes,
the first
she was the first woman to win, and mm-hmm. then Zhao won, and now mm-hmm. we have Jane Campion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so our mistake. But you know,
and you know, I have to say this really quick. Like when I said she was going to win, you know, I had my reasons, and then I heard your predictions because I didn't want to hear your predictions before I gave mine because I didn't want it to be kind of like, you know,
skewed.
But yeah, and so. When you mentioned what happened at the previous award show where she made that comment and people were upset about right. the comment that she made, I was like, oh, I forgot about that. Because yeah. that can have an impact. That can definitely have an impact. You know, you yes. can go from being riding high 1 minute to the next minute, just you did or said the wrong thing and it's downhill from there. And yeah. so I remember thinking like, oh man, he has such a point. I don't even know why I didn't remember that moment. Like, that was crazy, like, what she said and, you know,
And the thing is like, the only thing that kind of miffs me about the whole thing is mm-hmm. not the fact that, you know, she's completely wrong in her opinion. She's not, I'm not saying her opinion is completely off base. Like, directing, she's in one arena with
yes.
men included, you know, yes. tennis, it's separated by women and men. That was her point. And yeah. that was the point she was trying to make. Although I think the overall stink on the comment is like, it just seems like an unnecessary dig at a woman. You know what I mean? Just to promote yeah. your movie, you know, because just because yeah. your movie's up against a Williams sisters movie, you're digging at someone who, you know what I'm saying? It's yeah. who the movie's about, but it's not who the movie, it's not an actor, it's not a director, it's like an athlete in a different field, you right. know, who worked really hard to be who she is, to even be, you know, why we're even talking about making a King Richard movie, you know, she's part of that. And yeah. You kind of just, you know, in your own, to help your own battle or a quest to become this best director, you kind of stepped on, you know, what she did, and yes. I felt like that was just short-sighted. And
yeah, I mean, it was really a read the room moment.
Yeah,
you know, like,
she read it wrong.
She read it so wrong because it really did feel like what she was. It was bragging in a way.
Yes.
You know, like, I also understood what she was saying, and I agree. Like, her what she does is so different from what the sisters do.
Right.
Yeah, what the Williams sisters do, you know? And so they fight completely different opponents, you know,
right.
or they're against up against different opponents. And she is up against, you know, and she is in a world that is mostly, you know what I'm saying, managed and run by men. Like, a lot of Hollywood is managed and run by men. You know, now there are women in it and more women are entering and more women are making changes, but it doesn't change the fact that she's been doing this for so many years and
yes.
for so many years, she's had to compete with the men, you know, and that's not a small feat. That's not something that's easy to do. And, you know, she definitely deserves accolade for getting as far as she has in
yes.
a world where it's not expected. That's not expected of her, I guess you can say. And so, yeah, she should get the award for it, but you kind of crossed the line a little bit Right. Like you said, when you do the comparison, like, you know, you don't have to fight the men. So, you know, it's kind of like, wait a second.
Well, wait
and
that,
it was so funny. Like, cause I remember seeing, it was Venus's face was just like, I'm sorry, what? You know,
yeah.
Serena was still laughing. Serena was laughing, but Venus was just like, excuse me. Like I could just hear her thoughts. It's almost like she was saying, I eat bitches like you for breakfast. So don't even.
And the thing is with Venus too, you have to note that before Serena, there was Venus. And Venus, as far as, while tennis, of course, wasn't entirely a new platform for women, to do it the way she did it, to where she became number one in the world, and just her game was just so different from everyone she was competing against. A lot of people didn't believe that she would make it as a tennis player long term, like, you know, that kind of power, would it be sustainable? You know, is she too muscular? Is she too this? Is she too that? Yeah. You know what I mean? So to fight all that and just her the perception, of course, the perception around her dad, you know, which, you know, which is what King Richard is basically about. So to fight all of that, to just, I don't know. I mean, maybe Campion didn't mean to like negate her struggle or even to even minimize it, but to compare it just seems silly to me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think that her intentions were wrong at all. I don't think that she was, you know what I'm saying? I don't even think what she said in itself,
like, was wrong.
Like, it's actually factual. Yeah. It is true. I just felt it was just unnecessary, you know? Because like I said, you know, like, she does deserve the award. She deserves the accolade and the recognition for the hard work that she did.
Right.
And she got the award for it. So to say that, it's almost like rubbing it in, like, and y'all didn't win, you know, like,
yeah,
that's
it just
not
seemed like
what she was doing, but it felt that way.
Yeah. You know? It just felt unnecessary to the moment.
Right.
It's exactly. Like, yeah. So, so we could say that. That event, along with just time passing, people seeing more movies, more of the nominated movies and whatnot, the tide decidedly turned against The Power of the Dog by the time Oscar night came about. And you could feel an electricity even in the red carpet that CODA was gaining momentum just as they were talking to the actors involved, signing things. You know, they showed us how, you know, the applause. You know, to be the sign for applause was everywhere on the red carpet coming into the theater. So you could just feel that CODA was about to make its mark on the night.
Yeah. And I'm glad it did. I really am.
So then those were our predictions. And I guess we technically broke down our predictions and not the movies. So, you know, time well spent. Of course.
Yes. And don't worry, we will discuss the movies in depth. We're gonna have a longer recording where we talk about each of the movies and our thoughts, and you can even grade the movies if y'all'd like. Let us know. You can reach out to us on Facebook.
There actually is on Spotify. You can actually send messages, so it's actually pretty cool.
So send us messages on Spotify. That would be so awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. Welcome back.
That's right. That's right. We are back. We are back to break down the night that was the 94th Academy Awards.
Yes.
So, like we said, just to kind of recap, there was a notable electricity in the air toward CODA, kind of preceding its three wins out of three nominations. And then we had our hosts kind of, you know, kick things off. Well, first of all, before the hosts, I saw the red carpet as well. And I would just like to say that Terrence J, you know, of BET fame, you know, he made it to the red carpet and congratulations. But dude, the name of the movie was The Eyes of Tammy Faye, not being Tammy Faye. he kept on saying it too. He kind of doubled down on it. And it was like a real Hidden Fences moment there. And I was just like, dude, this is not being Mary Jane. This is not you know, Gabrielle Union's nowhere to be found. So, but I just found that hilarious that it just kept happening. Like, I know someone was in his ear saying that, and I don't know. Maybe it just didn't get to him. Maybe he wasn't even wearing an earpiece, but, you know. But Terrence, congrats to Terrence J nonetheless. You know, yes. You know, he's come a long way from 106 and Park to make it to the red carpet. So back to the night at hand and back to the hosts. We remarked in earlier episodes that this thing will be a three-headed tame monster of Amy Schumer, Regina Hall, and Wanda Sykes. So, I mean, what did you make of that? What did you make of just their roles and just how are they deployed?
You know, it wasn't as bad as I imagined it would likely be. I mean, it was still like PC in a way.
Yeah, in a way.
But they had, you know, there were a couple moments that I thought were kind of funny. Like, I know that one of them mentioned they decided to get three women because it was cheaper than having one male host. And yeah. I was like, all right, that's a good line. That's funny. That stood out. You know, them showing up in different costumes. Richard and Spider-Man. I was like, okay, that's nice. But I don't know. Like, when it comes to the Oscars, like, there are... It is really difficult to make it just like very, very, like as entertaining as it can be. But
yeah,
I mean, they did all right. That's where I was just like, they did all right. They had their moments, and honestly, it would have been forgettable in the end if we're being honest.
And I feel like while I agree with you, it was not super memorable. They really didn't have them out there for a lot of time. It's almost like a self-hosting thing, like it's been before they just decided to do these hosts again, where basically the presenters are the hosts in a sense. So they kind of peppered them in, and it was forgettable. But I think the Academy Awards, where it's at now, would rather be forgettable than memorably bad. And I think the last memorably terrible hosting performance has to be the James Franco and Hathaway pairing, where people just did not appreciate how lightly Franco took hosting. It almost seemed like it was just something else for him to do. I mean, he was a pretty busy individual at the time, you know, just on all the films that he's in, that he works on and writes and what have you, and or whatever he does. You know, he's in a band. He's, you know, in a, I don't know. He finds stuff to do. He's a very busy individual, or at least he was at the time. And then Anne Hathaway is just giving her all, and it's just like, dude, help me out. You know, so.
Anne Hathaway always gives her all. She's amazing.
Exactly. It's almost like she could have just did it by herself. But again, maybe the Oscars wasn't feeling that, you know. And of course, when you compare, and then Seth MacFarlane, people had a problem with how, you know, off the rails his monologues were getting. But then the thing is, when you hire Seth MacFarlane, you're going to get Seth MacFarlane. You know what I mean? He's going to sing about boobs. He's going to do it. You know what I mean? You know, I mean, not that I particularly cared for or didn't care for that number, but, you know, it's almost like when Solo hired Lord and Miller to direct, and then Turner fires them because the tone of it was too silly. But you hired you hired Lord and Miller. Like, this is 22 Jump Street. Like, what did you expect? So the hosts are always going to be compared to the Billy Crystals, to the Ellens, to the Chris Rock, ironically. You know, but Chris Rock, I mean, he did really well when he hosted this show. People forget that. So they're always going to be compared to those hosts. And it's just unfortunate, but I think they did an okay job. You know, it's like I said, I'm not going to remember it maybe even a year from now. I still think they should just get Tina Fey and Amy Poehler to just kick them upstairs to the big show, and it'll be hilarious.
And I say, and I still say, Trevor Noah, get him on there.
Oh yeah. Trevor Noah. Noah would be great. I think he would be.
Yeah.
But yeah, those were the hosts, and then it just led into the proceedings as the awards were handed out. I mean, the stage was awesome too. Like I remember remarking last year that it was so colorful, you know, and it felt so intimate because they were having it at, you know, the Station Square instead of the theater, so it was a smaller venue. They kind of combined a little bit of that. I think, like, you know, they used part of the stage as like kind of like a seating area for the nominees and stuff. I feel like, you know, I like that. I like that a lot. Instead of just having them maybe in chairs, or even I think they've always had kind of like separate seating for the nominees so they can kind of just get up onto stage. But I think they really took that more intimate looking, where they kind of space out the seating area from the rest of the theater. I thought that was pretty awesome. So it wasn't a very long walk to stage, which kind of backfired on them, you know, looking back.
Maybe a little bit, kind of.
I thought that was cool. All the red everywhere, too. I think red is a pretty awesome color for the movies. It always makes me think of, you know, AMC, American Multi Cinema, they love their red, they love their gold, and that was very much present on that stage, you know.
Yeah. You know, and I do want to point out just a couple things that from the night that were really, you know, I guess highlights for me, and it was just like the performances for the music, from Beyonce's performance to
the Compton performance. Yes.
Yeah, to We Don't Talk About Bruno. I mean, was I a fan of the way that, you know what I'm saying, homegirl almost like remixed it?
Yeah.
Maybe not, but
I'm a fan. I thought it was awesome. That Megan Thee Stallion. Yes.
Like, I don't know. I maybe I gotta watch it again. I don't know. But I was like, I liked the performance. I thought it was really great. But that's really because I just love that song. And it's so interesting too that was the song that they, you know, I mean, I know they did Dos Oreguitos too with Sebastian, but
it wasn't even nominated.
To me.
It wasn't nominated. Yeah,
we're not performing the song because they knew this was the most popular song. I guess they just didn't know it when they, you know, submitted submitted their nominees. So it is what it is. It was still really great, and I did enjoy. Those were a couple parts of the show that I did anyway.
Right. And then Billie Eilish and Phineas getting the win for best song, you know, to the surprise of many. I mean, but I love the song, though. You know, it is a very appropriately haunting. Oh, you don't like the song?
Oh, no, I just don't want to talk about it.
Oh, okay. But yeah, you know, because.
I'm being dramatic because it's not Dos Oreguitos. And I'm like, I don't care.
Lin-Manuel gets denied, I think, a second time. To get an EGOT, you know, so
yeah, he'll get it.
He'll get it one day. So that was another goings on of the night. I'm trying to see other notable things. Are we just beating around the bush at this point?
Yeah, we are.
Let's talk about it.
We're running out of time too, so it's like,
So documentary film. So best documentary short documentary film was presented by one Chris Rock, a former host of the show. You know, a guy who's done a pretty good job, you know, with his monologues and jabs and stuff. It's kind of what he's known for. Okay. if you don't know him by now, legendary comedian. Yeah. So he was about to present the award. Then he, you know, he's coming up on stage. He's like, you know, he's greeting the crowd. He's looking around. You know, he makes a remark to Javier Bardem, like, you know, look, buddy, you don't want to win because your wife already lost her nomination. So, you know, it's going to be a long ride home for you, buddy. You know, so just pray for Will Smith to win. Pray for him to win. And so, and that led to Chris Rock looking in Will Smith and his wife Jada Pinkett Smith's direction. Jada Pinkett Smith has a very low haircut. She has been publicly battling alopecia. It causes you to lose your hair in a lot of cases, as is with her. And he said, Jada, can't wait to see you in G.I. Jane 2. Mm-hmm. And she was visibly upset from the outset. You know, Will chuckled, you know, kind of getting caught up in the, you know, the festivities and of the night. But apparently looked over to his wife and saw she was not happy. Okay, so the camera goes back to Chris Rock because he's told his joke. So now he's about to present the award. But from out of the frame, Will Smith, walks up onto the stage. And, you know, you kind of think, you know, people are kind of chuckling because they think they're just, he's about to rib Chris Rock for making that joke about Jada. Everybody's laughing, everybody's joking, including Chris Rock, to the point where he's kind of just kind of leaning in, like he's just ready for whatever ribbing that Will is about to give him. And then Will basically just from just full Hamilton dual slaps Chris Rock. Like he went from like northeast to southwest follow through his face. Like, and then of course, you know, they're wearing lavaliers, so the impact is like,
and you know, what's
loud.
What's crazy is what, like, after he slapped him, Chris was still trying to like make light of it. He was just like,
right.
Will Smith just slapped the shit out of me, you know?
Exactly. Like, you could see in a split second, though, like a split second after, you know, that Brooklyn was about to kick in. You know what I mean? And that's a terrible joke to make because that's part of the whole narrative of the just what's happened and you know what people maybe the other side of things, if you know, if you get my drift, is saying about you know, black men being on the stage.
And that's another thing that kind of really that someone pointed this out, and I was like, it's a really, really good point to establish that. It's like, if this was anybody, like if this was any other actor, like of any other race, like that wouldn't be the narrative. You know what I'm saying? Like it wouldn't be, oh, you know, we can't, you know, like if it was Bradley Cooper and he slapped, I don't know, he slapped Jim Carrey or something.
Right.
It wouldn't be like, oh, this is how white folks are. Like, it wouldn't be the narrative, you know?
It wouldn't. If Sean Penn just slapped Robert De Niro, well, then we would just expect that from Sean Penn, and we probably wouldn't even talk about it. But
I think the thing about this though is the fact that it was Will Smith, you know, like because Will Smith has kind of just like painted his career as this, you know, genuinely nice
positivity,
guy.
Yeah,
and he wants to do good. He wants to do right. He wants to spread love and everything. And you know, he released this book recently.
Very recently.
He was talking about, you know what I'm saying, where he was talking about his life. And he was, you know, essentially asking people to understand, you know, more about him and where he's coming from. And so, and it's crazy too, because I finished that book Sunday. I finished it like maybe a couple hours before the Oscars came on.
Nice.
And and so I was so blown away. And I think the thing that really, really changed, like really hit home, is when Will Smith sat back down and started cursing at him. And like, that's when they were like,
yeah, I think that's what made it real. Yeah.
He was like, keep my wife's name out your effing mouth. Like he said like twice.
Yeah.
And Chris was just like, all right, I'm gonna be serious. Like, okay, you want serious? We got serious, you know?
Right.
But, there's so many things that can be said about that, that is just so, I think the biggest thing for me though is like, it's just so it's so frustrating. So incredibly frustrating, because like I said, with Will Smith, he's presented himself as someone who wants to do the right thing in the world, who wants to work hard and spread, you know, his love, spread kindness, and to respond to that in such a way is so incredibly disappointing.
Yeah.
Because it's against everything that you've been presenting, but it's incredibly, I mean, there's something, it's childish, it's illegal, you know?
Yeah.
and whatever your reasons were, because I'm sure you had your reasons, and, you know, I'm sure, you know, everything that happened with Jada, like Chris Rock, like shouldn't have been telling that joke. I can agree with that. But I still think that the way that it was handled is what ruined the entire thing, you know, because like in this moment, you have this actor who has been spending his life trying to do what's right, trying to be someone who wants to spread good and someone who wants to work to show that you can be like, even from when it's from his early acting career, he's like, I'm not going to be the guy who curses in my raps because I want, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want to be the family man. Like, that's who he's always wanted to be.
Right.
And like, you built that up and you've created that. And then in just one split moment, like right before you're about to get the greatest accolade one could get as an actor, you know, it's almost like that moment where you're about to get to, or get to the hill, or get to the top of the hill that you've been climbing, you do this, and it just overshadows all of it. It overshadows everything, you know? Like now, like, yeah, and he did, he won, but your acceptance speech is in relation to what you just did.
Yeah, so, and I felt like that, I agree that wasn't helpful to tie the acceptance speech into justifying your actions on that stage. I felt like he could have stayed away from that. And then of course, when posterity hits, then we don't connect the two events possibly, but now it's going to be connected. His Oscar win is going to be connected with the slap.
Oh, it's going to be connected to that. Yeah.
You know what I mean? That definitely will do that. So now what do you do? Like, because, you know, you read his book. I haven't read his book yet, but I've heard it remarked that he went through a period of time where he felt like he was a bystander to some abuse that his mother endured at the hands of his father. Mm-hmm. So there was some kind of analysis to this moment, that this was kind of a redemption of that arc. And if that is true, and, you know, we're not in Will Smith's head, but if that is true, then, you know, as recently as he, you know, was able to express, you know, this helplessness and frustration, as recently as he has done it, you know, he's still working through it. And he chose a non-ideal way to vindicate himself in that regard. And of course, you know, standing up for your wife is not wrong, but there's other ways to do it. That's just my opinion. I just think back to like Tabitha Brown when her husband retired. You know, if you're familiar with Tabitha Brown, she's an internet personality, Instagram, TikTok, blew up from, you know, seemingly nowhere to now she has a contract with creative artists. She's doing her thing. Her husband, you know, through the struggle, her husband's been a police officer, you know, just, you know, being the main income of the household while she builds her brand. So recently he retired from the police force after like over a decade, I think, of working as a police officer, you know, because he has other aspirations. He wants to work with kids. You know, he's a basketball coach. So he wants to plug in that way now that Tabitha is, you know, successful. He's able to do that. So Wendy Williams, you know, noted talk show personality, remarked on the situation, expressed some worry over the situation, actually, you know, and, you know, she doesn't really know Tabitha Brown personally, but she said that your husband not working can lead to trouble. It can lead to trouble in your marriage. And of course, notably, her troubles with her marriage. It's a very similar story arc where, you know, her husband, depending on who you ask, you know, took advantage of her. Okay. Yeah. So she expressed fear that the same thing would happen to Tab Brown. So there was a lot of discourse over it. You know, the internet basically turned on Wendy Williams, of course, because everyone loves Tab Brown. And then it got to Tab Brown. So she reacted by just simply expressing that, you know, this happened to Wendy. You know, don't know her personally, but, you know, I feel sorry for you and I'm going to pray for you. You yeah. know, and that was construed as a burn by a lot of people, even though yeah. it might not have been. So there's a, you know what I mean? So that did the job without even yeah. having to be in the same room with her.
Yeah. And I remember that. And I think that what the whole way, everything that went down in that situation, it was handled beautifully by Tabitha, in my opinion, like,
yeah.
because if you watch the Wendy Williams version, it's just like, girl, don't do it. You know, almost like right. saying, like, once it happens, I'm gonna be the one to tell you I told you so kind
exactly.
of mentality. Mm-hmm. But you know, Tabitha's response was so genuine and so amazing too, because she's like, this is my husband, like, this is someone that he has worked for me, he has worked to help me get to this point, so if he wants to retire and relax, I want to give that to him. And so it's just like, now I was like, yes, girl,
right.
do that, you know, because that's that. And so for her to be able to just openly express why, like, openly express what her perspective was, but also just to say, like, instead of saying, so stop hating, you know,
yeah.
Stop hating, Wendy, it was more just, you know, I hope that you find that kind of love. I hope that you find someone who can, you know, who can make you feel that kind of joy and that kind of excitement. You know, it was words of inspiration. It was words of encouragement. It was, you know, like I want to say killing her with kindness, but she wasn't killing her. She was just like, here's some kindness, because I hope that what I'm feeling, the joy that I feel, you one day feel as well. Right. And that was the best way to manage it, you know? And it's so against what
and to be fair, in the comparison, which, you know, there's not much of a comparison, is that Will Smith's moment was in the moment, and Tab yeah. Brown took time to think about it, react.
Yeah, yeah, record it and all of that. Yeah.
Right. So,
you know. But you know, there was a point in Will's book that I think that it was one of the first things that popped up in my mind, because like one thing that he went to therapy, and in the book he talks about how he learned how to get to a point where he wasn't trying to please everybody, like
right.
he wasn't basing his actions off of what everybody thinks
right.
or off of how other people would respond or anything like that. You know, I do think that the whole theme of fear and how he felt about the way he reacted when his father, you know, was abusive. I think that is something to you know, to be considered. But that one moment that one part in the book where he was talking about not wanting to, not having to please anybody anymore. Like he's going to do what he feels he needs to do for him. And so I think that had a little bit to do with what went down, because it's just like, I'm, you know, in his anger, he did what he thought was the right thing to do in the moment, which was defend his wife, who was upset.
Right.
But I think that there has to be there has to be another voice in your head that lets you know, like, yeah, but are you reacting out? Like, is this something that you need to do because it's the right thing to do, or are you doing this for your ego?
Right. Right. And you know, we have choices to make, and sometimes, you know, we don't take all the information that we can, you know, it's just part of being human.
Yeah.
You know,
I was just very disappointed. I think that's the only word that I can really give. Like,
yeah.
Like I hear other people saying like, oh, I look at Will Smith differently now, and oh, he's just, you know, he's
wow. so
terrible and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like,
yeah,
I don't know. Like, I don't know if all of the things that he's done before is completely just no longer relevant, you know, like, or no longer what it was originally, which was, like I said, inspirational and all of that. I think that this was a moment that was an awful moment, an awful decision. And you know, it shouldn't be the epitome of everything that he's done. So when people say, oh, they need to take his award away. No, don't take his award away.
All right. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up because at this point, that would be silly to do because anyone who would get it, there would be a huge asterisk on it. That, you know, we know he won the award. Everyone saw it. Everyone knows it. At this point, that would be silly to, it would not solve much, if at all. You can't make that punitive call as the Academy, you know, for the actions of some, I don't think you can. I don't think it's effective. And the thing is, too, the vote is kept super secret. PricewaterhouseCoopers, they're the only people who know who the winners are. Even the voters themselves don't know the results. They just know who they voted for. And, of course, the producers of the show, they're merely anticipating what will happen. Like, look what happened last year. They had best actor last because they thought Chadwick, or they anticipated that Chadwick would win, and so that would be a great way to end the show, you know, to honor his memory. But of course, that didn't happen, and so they looked kind of silly, but that's the nature of the beast. That's how secret the vote is.
Yeah.
So they reacted the way they reacted. They didn't know Will Smith was going to win, and then therefore they kept him on the property so he could receive his award, but they had to kind of prepare for the possibility if he was the winner.
Yeah.
You know, they had to prepare for all the possible possibilities, and that's the solution that was come up with. So.
Yeah, and like, I mean, honestly, like, what else were they going to do, really? Like, what else were they going to do? You know, they were going to be like, all right, well, you got to leave now, and then, oh, wait, you just won, you know, like.
Right, and then you have to call them back, or you have them in another room or something, like Jerry Springer or something.
We're not doing the best actor, we all know who won, kind of thing. No, like. Let's finish the show, because, you know, the show must go on. And even Chris Rock knew that. He responded well, in my opinion. Like, he didn't act any kind of way. He just was like, all right. Show must go on, because that's what it is.
That's what it is.
This is all we got to do. We got to continue the performance. And then at the end of the night, when the show is over, you know, then we reassess and figure out what we got to do to prevent that shit from happening again.
Exactly.
I think that one of the best ways, honestly, to mitigate that from prevent that from happening again is he's not invited. I'm sorry. Like, no. You like, because there has to be some kind of
measure.
Acknowledgement of what you did and what you did was wrong. And I understand what people are saying. Oh, and then they gave him an award for what he did after what he did. But it's just like,
not for what he did. He was already voted the winner.
It was already the winner. Like, that was already done. There was nothing they were going to be able to do about that, you know?
Yeah.
And at this point, again, the whole mantra for Hollywood or for film or all of their performances is the show must go on.
Right.
So that's what they did. They did what they understand to do. And so now that, like I said, now that it's done, now we just have to be able to acknowledge again what happened, what he did was wrong. It was wrong. Right. He handled that incorrectly. And so now how is he going to be, like, how is the Academy, because he really impacted their show, you know, the show that was produced for the first time by a Black man.
You know? So there's far-reaching implications, yes.
Right, so now how are we going to handle it? And I think one of the best ways to handle it, one of the worst ways to handle it, in my opinion, is to take his award away, like, because that's, I don't know, like, this just, like,
it's ineffective.
He won that rightfully, you know what I'm saying? But you can't come back to a show where you think it's okay to walk on the stage and slap a host for saying something that you don't like.
And I haven't heard that solution yet. Like, you're the first person to suggest that maybe, you know, maybe for a few years, Will Smith just can't come back.
Don't do that, bro. Like, no.
Yeah.
No. You know, like, and if Chris, and then everything else, like, that can be between Chris and Will, honestly. But Chris, do you want to press charges? If Chris wants press charges, I think he should. If he doesn't, that's on him.
That's on him. And I think he would come out on the bottom of that. at least at this point, because then it drags the moment out, because then there has to be a court date set. And then when the court date's set, the dialogue just happens all over again. And the thing is, like, okay, if his nose was broken, if he like fell off the stage and injured himself and it affected his ability to do his job or, you know, or to walk around or be healthy, then that's a whole different deal. But the perception of a black man, you know, pressing charges against another black man who had a bad moment but won the Academy Award, it would just, the stink would linger on the moment. And I think he was very much aware of that in the moment.
Yeah. And, you know, and I hate that it has to come to that, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, cause like I said earlier, like the fact that it even, that's even a part of the conversation.
Yeah. So it's terrible. Yeah. It sucks. It does.
You know, like it's, and one of the things that popped in my mind a few times was Chris Rock's, one of his standups where he was talking about, he loves black people, but he can't stand them.
Right.
You know where I'm going with
this. Yeah.
So, I know. Figure, boy, I hate it. So like it's just like, like there is that voice in my head that was just like, why are you acting like, why are you doing that, you know?
Exactly.
And that's been part of
the narrative surrounding Chris Rock for pretty much his entire career, you know.
I said he handled it in the moment, he handled it very well. Like some people might look and be like, oh, he should have, I would have slapped him or something like that, but it's like,
yeah,
we are professionals. We get paid for this. I'm going to do what I need to do to continue the show.
Right.
And then I'm going to handle it. You know what I'm saying?
You know, because he's only there to present one award. It's not like he was the host and he had to keep coming out. So it's just like, yeah, I'll handle this later. And, you know, and does it maybe hurt his brand a little bit temporarily? Probably. But
maybe. I don't know. I think his show, like he has a stand up coming out soon. I think he's going to be. He's gonna get a lot of
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, you're right. So that was the night that was, because after that, man, like the tone completely changed. Everyone was just shocked that this happened, that it wasn't a stunt, that it would really happen, that the sound was cut for a whole minute. You know, when Will was saying, keep your my wife's name out your mouth, expletive. And then Will Smith accepts the award, you know, there's some, you know, he's protecting people and what he's building a river of love and stuff like that.
There's something I do want to point out really quick, if we have a few minutes, really, really quick. So there's There is this, there's someone who once mentioned the idea of like compassion. And like I said earlier, like Will Smith has always expressed that he wants to be compassionate and kind and all of that.
Yeah.
And someone once mentioned in a lecture, like, you know, there is like a limit to compassion, you know, because a mother bear is incredibly compassionate to her cubs.
Right.
Right. But if you get anywhere near them, she will rip you to pieces.
Right. For very little reason. Right.
Right. And so it's almost like there's still that, like he's still perhaps in his mind, he's still thinking that this is, he's being compassionate and he's being loving and he's being, you know, kind to his wife. And so in that act, he was being a mother bear in a way.
Right.
But, and still in the end, you know, so like even with his speech, it made sense to me that he was saying that. It made sense to me that he was crying, because he know, like, you, when you do something wrong like that, you know what you did was wrong, you know, and you know how it's going to impact you, you know? So I think that his speech was incredibly genuine. I don't think he was just saying that to try to get away with the things that he did.
Right.
I think that he was, you know, he was genuinely, he may have been just as disappointed in himself, as you know, other people were in what he did, you know.
Right.
I don't want people looking at him. I don't think it's fair to look at him as if he's just like this horrible person who's been lying to us this whole time.
Right. That's a bit much. And I think maybe people saying that have always wanted to say it. So
So
that's just what I have to say about that. And I know we're running up against time in a lot of regards. That is our recap of the show at hand and our winners and losers. So we're going to break down the movies individually. So just to kind of cap off the Oscar season. I know there's a lot of Oscar episodes, and we know you love it, so we keep continue to do it. Yes, absolutely.
We love it.
So yes. Stay tuned for that. We're going to get this edited and to you guys forthcoming and with haste. So,
I have a sign off.
Sure. Okay.
Try it out.
Go ahead.
All right, you guys. All right. This has been amazing. I hope you guys stay blessed, no stress, and we'll see you next time.
Not bad.
Not bad, right? I like it.
Okay.